Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 27, entitled Of the Sacraments. Sacraments are holy signs and seals of the covenant of grace, immediately instituted by God, to represent Christ and his benefits, and to confirm our interest in him, as also to put a visible difference between those that belong unto the church and the rest of the world, and solemnly to engage them to the service of God in Christ according to his word. There is in every sacrament a spiritual relation or sacramental union between the sign and the thing signifies, whence it comes to pass that the names and effects of the one are attributed to the other. The grace which is exhibited in or by the sacraments rightly used is not conferred by any power in them, neither doth the efficacy of a sacrament depend upon the piety or intentions of him that doth administer it, but upon the work of the Spirit and the word of institution which contains, together with a precept authorizing the use thereof, a promise of benefit to worthy receivers. There be only two sacraments ordained by Christ our Lord in the gospel, that is to say, baptism and the supper of the Lord, neither of which may be dispensed by any but by a minister of the word lawfully ordained. The sacraments of the Old Testament in regard of the spiritual things thereby signified and exhibited were for substance the same with those of the new. Now, whether we will get the whole chapter done is a moot point. The word sacrament, as you probably are aware, is not a biblical word, not a word we find in the Bible. It's a Latin translation of the Greek word mysterion, mystery. And it was a word used, I think, because it seemed to convey the idea that the sacraments were deep mysteries. And that really is not how the New Testament, or the Old Testament for that matter, presents them. The word sacramentum actually is an oath. It was an oath taken by a Roman soldier. And how it came to translate mysterion, well, that's another discussion altogether. It might be helpful to keep in your mind that when you come across the word sacrament, you could have in brackets beside it the word ordinance, the Lord's ordinances. Those signs and seals of the new covenant that Christ has ordered and ordained for his church. Now, section 1 tells us what a sacrament is, and in particular, its significance and function. And six things are mentioned. We're told, first of all, that sacraments are holy signs and seals of the covenant of grace. Perhaps even better, they are sealing signs of the covenant of grace. We're told, secondly, that they were immediately instituted by God. They owe their origination to God and not to the church. Thirdly, they represent Christ and his benefits. Perhaps obviously in baptism, union with Christ, for in baptism it's the great sign of union, baptized into the name of Father, Son and Spirit, union with Christ and cleansing by Christ. And in the Lord's Supper, the reception of Christ with his gospel benefits. Fourthly, they confirm our interest in him. They act a little bit, if you like a wedding ring. They don't constitute anyone a Christian, but they signify and confirm that we are Christian believers. That is our public profession. And the sacraments testify to that. They confirm our interest in him. Fifthly, they put a visible difference between those who belong to the church and the rest of the world. In that respect, they're like boundary markers. They're saying, this is what the church is. It is a people who are united to Christ, cleansed by his blood, and whose lives are supported and sustained by the blessings and benefits that he has won for us by his life and death and resurrection. And so we need to take more seriously in our day what the church has always taken seriously, the reality and importance of sacraments. They are visible boundary markers. And then sixthly, they solemnly engage us to the service of God in Christ according to his word. When we engage in the sacraments in faith, as we shall see, not apart from faith, we are solemnly engaging, if you like, ourselves to the service of God in Christ. But what you should notice in this first section particularly is that the sacraments have a Godward before they have a manward direction. Too often we think, for example, say of baptism. Baptism is where I confess my faith. Well, that's not a biblical way to think about the sacrament of baptism at all. It is where we confess our faith, but secondarily, it is where God marks us out as his. It is where God takes the initiative and says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Sacraments have a Godward before they have a manward reference. In section 2, the divines make the much misunderstood point, if you look carefully at it, that the sign, for example, say circumcision, that the sign has an intimate relation with the reality it signifies. What is the reality that the sacraments signify? Well, first, that God marks us out to belong to him. Now, the sign doesn't constitute that reality. It doesn't effect that reality. But in Scripture, strikingly, sign and reality are often astonishingly identified. For example, in Genesis 17, circumcision is called the covenant. Now, in the next verse, it's called the sign of the covenant, which, of course, is what it is. You think, well, why does God call it the covenant? Why does he so identify the sign? Like, why is baptism in 1 Peter 3 spoken of in such a way that it seems to suggest that the water of baptism actually accomplishes cleansing and spiritual renewal? Why this identity? Not because, as the next section will show us, not because the sign effects the identity, but because God uses sacramental signs to confer his grace by his Spirit and through faith. They are means of grace. They're not bare signs. They are means of grace. In section 3, two false views of the Roman Church are rejected. First, this refers back to the previous section, the sacraments do not possess inherent power. That is to say, they do not work automatically, ex opere operato, literally by the very fact of the action being done, irrespective of faith. And secondly, Rome taught and teaches that the priest must intend to do what the church teaches for the sacrament to be valid. Well, there are two problems with that. Number one, it leads to priestcraft. But more significantly, it leads to uncertainty as to whether the sacrament has ever truly been administered. If the priest is not inwardly actually doing precisely what the church says he should be doing, the sacraments null and void. The divines deny that and make this point that the sacrament's validity depends on God's promise, on the work of God's Spirit, and on worthy receivers. And worthy receivers are elect, believing receivers. And one of the great concerns of the divines was to help the church see that the great reality of the church's life did not depend on the man at the front, albeit with ecclesiastical authority. The church's life depends on the grace and power of God's Spirit as he brings to the people of God through faith the blessings and the benefits of their union with Jesus Christ. Sacraments are signs and seals of the covenant of grace. They do not effect it, but they are means of grace whereby God brings it to believing sinners. We'll come back to the rest next time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us visible, earthly, tangible tokens that display to us your grace and your goodness and your mercy in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, by faith, to see these covenant signs become true means of grace to our lives, that we might not only hear of what Christ has done, but see what he has done and taste what he has done and be built up thereby through faith in our most holy faith. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.